We're going to do a Bible check, all right? If you haven't got a Bible, just hold up your hand without one and the ushers will get you a Bible. You need a Bible. Got to have a Bible. We're in church. Amen? Amen. All right. Bronson, you can share. Let Andrew share with you. Let's see. Anybody else? You can be seated. I need a couple of Bibles up here in the front, Brother Mike. Now, open your Bible to Matthew, the first book of the New Testament, Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. I need a couple up front, brother. One up front at least, please. Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. There's a story in the first few verses of Matthew chapter 9 about a man who has what the Bible calls the palsy, P-A-L-S-Y. You might not be familiar with that term, but what it means is he is unable to walk. He is paralyzed. If you look in Matthew chapter 9, it says in verse 2, it says, "Behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed." We would think of that bed maybe kind of like a stretcher. This man that has the palsy can't carry himself. Somebody else had to carry him. And if they brought him in here today, let's say that we opened the back doors and they brought this fellow in on this stretcher and they brought him right down the center aisle and they brought him up here and they put him right here on this platform so you could all could see him. We wouldn't want to embarrass him like that, but for the sake of illustration, he's laying there on that stretcher. And if I said to that man, just stand up and walk, what would he say to me? I can't. The Lord Jesus Christ heals him later, praise the Lord. And then when Jesus says, "Arise, take up thy bed and walk," he does. Amen. Amen? And there's a picture. In fact, the first thing Jesus said to that man was, "Thy sins be forgiven." Amen. Now, if I came to you today and I said, "I want you to have forgiveness. I want you to find forgiveness somehow outside the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to do something to pay for your sins. You've lied, you've cheated, you've stolen, you've been mean to people, you've not loved them like you should, and I want you to take care of that. I want you to fix that." You'd have to say, "I can't." When you sinned, you didn't just sin against other people, you sinned against God. And the Bible says this, "Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin." You don't have what it takes. If I came to you and said, "Find forgiveness," you'd have to say, "Except for the Lord Jesus Christ, I can't." But praise God, in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can. If I came to you and I said to a lost person that doesn't have Christ in their life, if I said to you, "I want you to be good. I want you to be so good that you do more good things than you've done bad things in your life. And I want you to do good things to pay for the bad things you've done so that someday when you stand before God, He'll see more good than bad," you'd have to say, "I can't." In fact, the Bible says, and listen to this carefully, it says, if you try to work in order to be forgiven, the Bible says you don't get closer to God, you get farther away. Romans chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, he says, "To him that worketh," you're working, you're trying to do good things, he says, "the reward is not reckoned of grace, but of debt." But it says in verse 5, says, to him that believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. I went to a nursing home in Salt Lake City one time, and there was a lady there, and her church had taught her she had to be good in order to go to heaven. They taught her that. They said, you need to be good like Jesus was good, and that way you can go to heaven. And so we preached the gospel to her that Jesus died for her sins. And then I asked her one day, I said, if you died today, what would happen to you? She said, I don't know. I said, well, the Bible says that when you die, you're either going to go to heaven or you're going to go to hell. Amen? One of the two. There's no middle ground. There's no purgatory. I've looked through this Bible cover to cover, used a computer to help me. The word purgatory is not in here.
That's right.
So she said, well, I'm doing the best I can. But you can't, can you? So make the story a little shorter. So we led her to the Lord. She asked Christ to forgive her. And I came in the next Sunday afternoon to the nursing home. And I asked her, I said, what have you been doing? And she said, I haven't been doing anything. And what she meant was, I haven't got to be good anymore because Jesus is good. Amen? Now, that doesn't mean you haven't got to, you know, do what's right. But what she was trying to tell me was she wasn't trying to save herself anymore. God didn't come to you. God didn't come to me and say, save yourself. If he did, I would say, I can't. The man laying here on the stretcher, if you came to him and said, walk, if you could walk, you would be healed. He would say, I figured that one out a long time ago, but I can't. Jesus can. Now, that's the introduction. Let's look at the passage. If you'll stand with me for the reading of God's word, I'll read you this story. This true story happened a couple of thousand years ago, and we'll have a word of prayer. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 1. Now follow along in your Bible. Matthew chapter 9. I'll read out loud as you follow along silently. It says, he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city, and behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. You have to let me pause for a moment. That kind of gets me excited.
Amen.
Because that's what Jesus did for me.
Amen.
And if you're saved, he did that for you. Amen?
Amen.
And behold, verse 3, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. I'll explain that to you in a minute. Just stay with me. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? Whether is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then saith he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house. And he arose and departed to his house. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. I want you to read verse 6, the first half of that verse, with me together out loud. Could we please? Verse 6, I'm going to read up to the parentheses, okay? Here we go. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Father, thank you this morning that the power to forgive sins still rests in the Lord Jesus Christ. He can still forgive sins. He can forgive the sins of every single person in this room. He forgave me of my sins. He forgave Brother Mendez of his sins. He forgave Brother Jacobs of his sins. He forgave Brother Gonzalez of his sins. And God, there are people in this room that are able to stand before God with no sin because Jesus paid for their sins and forgave them.
Amen.
And Lord, the Bible says he is not willing that any should perish. Every single person in this room could have their sins forgiven. It doesn't matter how old they are. The Bible never says there's an age limit. It doesn't matter how bad they've been. The Bible never says sins can't be forgiven if they're too bad. But the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Father, help us today to understand the meaning of this passage in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Already kind of pointed out the first two verses. The lame man is brought to Jesus. Why did someone have to bring the lame man to Jesus? He couldn't bring himself. Now, that's an important principle. You need to understand that. I need to as well. There are people that you know, and you're going to have to get them together with Jesus because they of themselves don't know how to do that. There may be somebody you work with or go to school with, or you may have a friend that you play with. How are you going to bring them to Jesus? Tell them of what Jesus did for them. Amen? Bring them to church if you can, but they need to be shown what Jesus did for them. Amen? The Bible says God gave us that job. So when we go out and talk to people, we need to bring people and Jesus together. The lame man could not do that by himself. He was paralyzed. If someone said to the lame man, go find Jesus, his answer would be, I can't. He did not have that ability. So when he did come to Jesus, right away, the Bible says in verse 2 that Jesus said, at the end of verse 2, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. You ever had something that made you really happy? You know, I one of my favorite times that just pops into my mind is seeing children open gifts on Christmas Day. Now, when I was little, it was opening gifts on Christmas Day. But I'm a little older now, and I don't like to open them nearly so much as I like to see other, especially little children, opening gifts on Christmas Day. And when they get excited because they got something. And then if you're the one that gave it to them, that's even better. And I can't wait. Christmas is only 3 months away. Amen? It's almost time to make tamales, Mrs. Gonzalez. And Christmas is coming here pretty quick. And you may not have a lot of money. My dad tells a true story. He's in heaven with the Lord now. My dad tells me of one Christmas he remembers. And what he got for Christmas was one banana. You say, that's sad. He liked it. He never had a banana. He never had seen a banana. And his dad, and they were poor. They were farmers, and they were poor ranchers, I guess, and they were poor. And his dad brought him a banana for Christmas. He says, wow, that was great. It's just the gift giving, the idea of receiving something. But there's never, ever been a gift available to you greater than Jesus forgiving you for your sins. Because, you know, you buy a banana, you eat it, and it's gone. You get a toy, you play with it, it's broken. You get a video game and you get bored and leave it in the closet or something. But listen to me, you're never going to get tired of heaven. And you're never going to get tired of being with the Lord Jesus Christ. And if your sins are forgiven, Jesus can forgive you of all your sins right then, forever. Never will wear out, never will break, never will get tired of it. And you look at the other side of that, he also saved you from hell, didn't he? You know, Jesus talked about hell more than he talked about heaven when he preached. Hell's real. So here's this lame man, and Jesus says, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Now, there were some people there, and I told you I'd explain this to you in verse 3, and it says that they said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. They didn't say it out loud, they just thought it. Oh, by the way, God knows what you think. Amen. You haven't got to say a word. He knows what you're thinking in your heart. Amen. What do they mean blaspheming? What are they talking about? Well, here's the problem. They knew something. You see, in the Bible, the only one authorized, the only one qualified, the only one that's able to forgive sins is God. And so if Jesus says he can forgive sins, he's making himself God. They didn't think he was God. And so they thought he was blaspheming, insulting God by claiming to be God. But folks, he was not claiming to be God. He was God. He was the Son of God. And he said, I and my Father are one. And he is the great shepherd, just like Psalm 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd. Jesus is. He told Philip, he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So when he says to this man, your sins are forgiven, he has that authority. And by the way, aren't you glad he still does? Amen? Amen? He's not done forgiving people yet. So Jesus asked these men the question, why do you think evil in your hearts? And he said, and I'm paraphrasing, the reason he said, thy sins be forgiven, because he wanted people to know that he could do that he could forgive sins. And sure enough, then he says to the man, arise, take up thy bed. Or let me read it to you correctly here because I get my stories mixed up. He says, arise and walk in verse 5. Okay, arise and walk. And when he tells that man in verse 6, arise, take up thy bed and go into thine house. The man just laid there, right? No. What happened? Amen. Now this is not complicated, but it's very important. If Jesus says to this man, you're healed, and the man just lays there and cannot walk, then he really wasn't healed, was he? If Jesus says, you're forgiven of your sins, and nothing changes in your life, it's not that Jesus doesn't have the power, but folks, we have to believe on him. Amen? The Bible says our faith is counted for righteousness. Pastor, faith in what? Everybody listen to me real careful. Don't miss this now. What did Jesus do on the cross? He suffered and he bled and he died on the cross. And why did he die? Did he have sins to pay for? No. He paid for our sins. And he was buried, and the third day he rose from the dead. How can he do that? Oh, by the way, don't misunderstand this. He said to we've already seen it in Matthew. He said to the people, he said, you want a sign? Here's a sign. He said, destroy this temple, like talking about his body. He said, and in 3 days I'll raise it up. He rose from the dead 3 days later because the sin was taken care of. You see, sin causes death. So when you take the sin away, there's no death. He rose the third day. The sins had been dealt with. The sins had been paid for. What pays for sin? The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin.
Amen.
So the Bible says, with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation, Romans 10:9. You and I, in order to be saved, if I said to you today, there you are, laying there on the stretcher, and your sins have bound you. You can't get up. And if I said to you, well, just take care of your own sins. Be good. Do some good works. Think some good thoughts. Say some nice things. Do good deeds, and you'll be healed. No. You'd say, I can't heal myself.
Right.
Folks, you can't heal yourself.
Amen.
You can't pay for your own sins, can you? No more than you can raise yourself from the dead. You can't get off of that stretcher. But if you'd come to Jesus, he could forgive you. Amen?
Amen.
And he could heal you.
That's right.
If Jesus healed you, would you know it?
Yes.
You can imagine the man just stood up for the first time in maybe forever, but certainly for years. He hadn't been able to walk, and all of a sudden he's healed and he can walk. Now, this is the important point, and I'm almost done. If Jesus saves you from your sins, you'll know it. The Bible says this, we are saved unto good works. What does that mean? You can't do good works when you're laying on the stretcher. You can't. But after Jesus saves you, there's some things you can do you couldn't do before. But Pastor, what are those? Well, one of them is this. You can talk to God. When you're lost, in the first place, lost people don't normally want to talk to God, maybe unless they're in trouble. But the Bible says that God hears a prayer when a sinner asks him to save him. He hears that prayer. And then you can talk to God all the time. I knew a fellow that was blind. And he had been blind since he was a little bitty boy. And he was now a middle-aged man. And he was walking across the parking lot one day and he came across a police car. He could tell. He showed me one time how to listen for a car that was sitting there still and quiet. He could do it. I couldn't figure that one out. He could tell you where the car was and he couldn't even see. Walked up to a police car. He heard the policeman talking on the radio. This is the kind of man he was. He said to the policeman, he just started talking to him. This man said, I know a form of communication better than that radio. It doesn't need batteries or electricity. It doesn't need an antenna. It doesn't need a transmitter. And it works 100% of the time with perfect clarity. The policeman said, what is that? What method of communication is that effective and that sure? And the blind man said, prayer. Amen? Amen. Now I got a question for you and I. If God can hear our prayers, why aren't we praying? Amen? Or why aren't we praying more? You ever worry about something? That's a little thing in the back of your mind that goes off that says you need to pray about that. You ever have a need? I have a God that can meet needs. You have a sin? I have a God that can forgive sin. You want some wisdom and some direction? Our God has wisdom and direction. Amen? So this man that never could do anything, now he can pray. Oh, you know what else you can do that you couldn't do before? You can tell people how Jesus saved you. Now think about that just for a minute. If you've never received Christ as your Savior, you sure can't tell somebody else because it never has happened to you yet. You might know the facts. But here's my question for you. Did Jesus save you? Amen? You know about it, right? Just tell somebody. It's not that hard. I just did it a while ago. I said to you, Jesus forgave me for my sins. That is not complicated. It's true. I could tell you more details about how I was a little boy and how the pastor showed me how to find Christ as Savior and how I prayed and got saved. But it's not hard to do unless you haven't done it. You can't testify. You can't give people a testimony of how Jesus saved you until you're saved. And then you sure can, can't you? You know what else I can do that I couldn't do before? I can read my Bible to understand it. I've told you the story too many times about the fellow in Salt Lake City that got saved. And he asked me a question and I gave him a Bible verse to answer his question. And he was excited. Yeah, that answers the question. Where is that found? And I showed him. And he asked me another question, and I said, well, there's a place in the Bible that answers that question. And he read it, and he got excited. He had seen the Bible before, but after you got saved, the Holy Spirit came into your heart, and he shows you what the Bible means. Now, we were talking about there are some big words you might need to look up and so on, and you get educated and haven't got to do that anymore. But the Bible is very clear. For example, the Bible says all have sinned. Pretty clear. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. If you sinned, you're going to die. And the Bible says death and hell are going to be cast into a lake of fire. There's a place called hell. And then the Bible says this, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's pretty simple. Biggest word there is whosoever. It means anybody. But there's a lot more in the Bible than that. Aren't you glad? Tells you what to do when you're in trouble. Tells you who to trust in. Tells you the stories of people that did trust in God. You can do a lot of things after you're saved that you couldn't do before. Now this, catch this, please catch this. If you think you're saved, but you can't see any difference in your life, you're still laying there. You can't pray, you can't read your Bible, you can't tell folks about the Lord. You're probably not interested in church if you're not saved. You're probably not excited about telling somebody else how to get saved if you're not saved. If nothing has changed, you need to get saved. If you don't know the forgiveness, if you don't know the excitement and the joy of being forgiven for your sins, you need to be forgiven. And it's just a matter of coming to Jesus and letting him forgive you. you've come this close in just about 5 minutes or so. I give you a chance to come up and we'll let somebody take a Bible and show you how you can be saved too. Let's finish up here. So you had this lame man brought to Jesus. You had the lost man that blasphemed Jesus. You had the lame man that was blessed by Jesus. He took up his bed and he walked. But that's not the end of the story. Look at verse 8. It says, when the multitudes saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. Now, one thing I am glad of, the multitude realized that God's the one that can forgive sin. If they could figure that out, I'd hope we could too. Oh, by the way, no priest can forgive sin.
That's right.
The Lord Jesus Christ can. If some man says to you, you're forgiven, well, we already know what he did. He blasphemed because only God can forgive sins. So if you're trusting some man, if you're trusting some angel, if you're trusting somebody other than God to forgive your sins, they're not forgiven. These people saw this fella that was laying on that bed get up, apparently take the bed, and walk out. And we could take a poll and we could say, was this man healed? What do you think? And they'd all say, yeah, he was healed. I saw him walk. Let me ask you this question. Can people see that you're saved? Amen? Somebody says, I'm saved. And they keep living the same old wicked life. They keep drinking the beer and looking at the wicked stuff on the TV and saying the wicked words. And they say, oh, I'm saved. No, 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 no. When you're saved, you're different. Amen? And you're going to want to tell people about it, by the way. But if you're still wicked, if you still can't walk, you still need to be saved. If you're saved, there's going to be some evidence. You're going to know it, and other people are going to know it. But sadly, and I'm done, if you look at verse 8, it says, they glorified God which had given such power unto men. They're a little confused. Jesus is the one that had that power, not because God gave him power as a man, but because he was God. Folks, knowing who Jesus is the first step to being saved. He's not a God, he is the God of heaven. He's not a man like the Muslims say, oh, Jesus is a good man. No, Jesus is God. And he's not still hanging on a cross the way some churches have things in their church of statue of Jesus on the cross. No, no, he rose from the dead. And he's not one of many gods. He is the God. If you got the wrong Jesus, you haven't got salvation. So at the end of the story, there were still a lot of men that were blind to who Jesus was. Now, here's my question and I'm done. Do you know who Jesus is? And the better question is, who is he to you? If we could fish this lame man, this man with the palsy, if we could go find him, he's in heaven now, but if we could go find him and bring him in here and have him stand right up here in the front and ask him, who's Jesus? What do you think he'd say first? The first thing I think he'd say is, he's the one that healed me. You see, who Jesus is really who is he to you? Someone says, oh, he's a great man and he did great things. I'm not so interested in that is what he did for you. What's he done for you? Has he saved you? Well, you bow your heads and close your eyes just for a moment. Every head bowed and every eye closed. There's two or three things you need to understand. First of all, Jesus can forgive you for your sins. Amen? That's plain as day in the passage. And then the second thing that's just as plain is that all have sinned. The Bible says all have sinned. That means you. That means me. I have sinned. Jesus can forgive me for my sins. What's missing? The Bible says this. By grace Are you saved? The word grace means you got something you didn't deserve. You didn't earn it. You didn't work for it. You weren't good enough to get it. Grace is something that you're given when you don't deserve it. By grace are you saved through faith. Faith is believing something you can't see. But the interesting thing is, after you believe, you will see some things. Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, he said, "You've never seen the wind, but you've seen what the wind can do. You've seen the leaves on the trees move. You know there's a wind, even though you never have seen it, because you've seen what it can do." And he said, that's the same way the Spirit of God is. You know the Spirit of God, not because you can see Him, but because of what you can see Him do. So here's my simple question. If you know that Jesus can forgive sins, and you know that you're a sinner, would you ask Him to save you? Would you ask Him to save you from your sins? Would you ask Him, or do you want to turn away from Him? He's calling. He wants to save you. Now it's your time to make a decision. Would anybody in this room say, "Pastor, I don't want you to, I'm not going to point you out. I don't want you to look up even. Just say, by raising your hand, would you say, Pastor, I'd like to have Jesus forgive me for my sins. I want to know how to have my sins forgiven." If that's you, would you raise your hand? I've never done that. I'd like to know how to have my sins forgiven. No one looking around, every head bowed and every eye closed. Holy Spirit's talking to you. What are you going to say? How are you going to answer? Yes or no? Pastor, I'd like to know how to have my sins forgiven. Someone says, "Oh, I don't believe any of this." Well, one day you will, but then it's going to be too late, perhaps. It's just simply what the Bible says. Christ loved us and He gave Himself for us. He loved you and He died for you. And now He's waiting for you to come to Him to be saved, to have your sins forgiven. He'll forgive you. He can and He will if you'll let Him. Would anybody here, again, I will not embarrass you, nobody's looking around, but anybody say, "Pastor, I'd like to know how to have my sins forgiven today." Would you just raise your hand up so I can pray for you? Anybody at all? "Pastor, that's me." There's a hand right there. Anybody else? "Pastor, I want to know today." You can put your hand down. "I'd like to know today. I'm not sure. I don't know, but I'd like to know today. I would like Jesus to forgive me." Anybody at all? How many here can say, "Pastor, I know. I remember the time when Jesus forgave me for my sins." Would you raise your hand, please? I remember the time when that happened. All right, you can put your hands down. Now, if you didn't raise your hand either time, I'm a little confused. Because it seems to me like what you're saying is this: I've not been forgiven, and I don't really want to be. Jesus died for you anyway. We're going to pray for you anyway. But it's up to you. Would you stand, please? Everyone standing. We're going to have a word of prayer, and we're going to sing a hymn.